What an honor to be here tonight. Bishop, thank you for inviting me. I hope I don't get you fired. You know, just in worship tonight, there's just such a presence of God. And I want you to know that business as usual is over. God said he's ready to do a new thing among you. I saw tonight while we were worshiping, I saw the finger of the Lord come down in the state of Oklahoma, and he just began to run his finger through the soil. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? Are you drawing a line? He said, no, I'm creating a place for seed to be sown and a harvest to be reaped. You are in a Kairos moment here, Bishop, in this state. And my prayer tonight is that each of you will begin to see what God is doing in Oklahoma, because I really feel that what God's doing here is going to begin to affect the nation. And in doing so, we're going to have to allow Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen? Yes. That means we got to lose our way. Yes. That means we got to be willing to say, God, I don't have it all figured out. Yes. One of the things I've become very comfortable with is saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. God knows what he's doing. And it's the word of the Lord tells us in Romans that if we are led by the Spirit, then we are the sons of God. We as the church, I know not in Oklahoma, but as the church as a whole, we've been trying to lead Holy Spirit around. Come on, smile at me. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew. I do know in my heart I have a word for you. And I know this word, if we'll take it in our heart and in our spirit, there's a mighty outpouring of God that he wants to bring in America. There's no coincidence that you're called the Heartland Conference. There's a lot in the name. Amen? I believe that this area, Steve, is going to catch the heartbeat of God. And we're going to begin to hear what the heartbeat of God is saying to us, not only as a people here in this conference, but as a nation as a whole. It says in verse 13 of the 16th chapter of Matthew, it says, now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say that John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. You know, there's a lot of ideas about who Jesus is. The news media has their idea. Islam has its idea. The Buddhists have their idea. Christians have their idea. But who is he? See, so many times we want to conform to other people's ideas. But if we would begin to conform to the ideas of who the king says he is, then we'll begin to have the power and the glory of the king begin to be poured out in our midst and poured out upon the earth. I really thank God tonight, Julie, for the songs that you prepared. These songs just confirmed in me what I was supposed to bring to you tonight. And I feel a little bit wound up. I feel a little bit tense tonight, but that's because I know I got a word for you. There's a lot of religions out there, and I don't want to throw Christianity into the group of religion, because we're not a religion. We're a people of relationship. Amen. But we've all kind of watered down our definition of who the king is. And Jesus is asking us to take off the garments of religion and put on the garments of the kingdom and begin to go forth as he's proclaimed that we could go forth. In verse 15, he said unto them something very, very important that I want to ask you tonight. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Yeah. I could stand up here tonight and tell you a lot of things he is in my life. He's a savior. He's a healer, a deliverer. Amen. He's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We still say Holy Ghost around here, don't we? Amen. We're not afraid of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. He's asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? And that's a very important question for us tonight in the church, because there are a lot of things that get presented to us and a lot of ideas that come to us from many different places on how we could be better, do better, have more, get more. But the question is, who do we say that he is? If he is our all in all, if he's the one that is the supplier, if he's the one that we're following, and he's the one whose mandates that we're following, who do we say that he is? The scripture tells us that down in verse 25, if a man wishes to save his life, he's got to lose his life. Amen? See, a lot of times we come to the Lord and we say, okay, Lord, here's my plans. I want you to bless them. I'm going to do a lot for you. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make your name famous in the earth. But he never told us to bring our life or our plans to him and include him in it. He said, I want you to lose your life. Amen. There's a big difference. See, when you lose your life, you come into a place to where you say, I got plans, but your plans are more important than my plans. I know what I think I want to do, God, but what do you want me to do? That's what I'm going to do, no matter if I like it or yes. Amen. That's losing our life. And he asked them a very important question. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered. I love Peter, man. Peter, he knew the taste of shoe leather, didn't he? But he got it right here. Simon Peter said here, he said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18 is where I want to get to tonight. He says, I also say that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Did you notice what Jesus told Peter that he was going to give him? He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the keys to a religion. He didn't even say, I'm going to give you keys to a church. Matter of fact, nowhere in Scripture did Jesus tell us to build a church. He said, he's going to build it. He told us to expand the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Are you with me so far? You see, it's very important that we don't allow ourselves to be caught in the trap of religion that always has us looking for God, searching for God, trying to make God happy with us or make God pleased with us so that he would bless us. God's already pleased with you if you're saved. Hallelujah. Amen. God already loves you if you're born again. If his blood has been applied to your life, he's already satisfied. Amen. Now, he's going to pull more out of you. He's going to challenge you. He's going to stretch you. That's just what he does. But he's not wanting to give us a religion. He's wanting to give us a kingdom. Yeah. It's a big, big difference. You see, when Adam fell in the garden, Adam didn't lose a religion, did he? There were no sacrifices being made there. Amen. There were no commandments there other than don't eat the fruit of the tree, right? There was no temple to go to. You know, God walked with Adam in the cool of day. When Adam fell, Adam did not lose a religion. Adam lost a kingdom. Now, whenever God placed Adam in the earth, he gave Adam a blessing. Am I right? He told Adam, he said, I want you to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, and to replenish. He gave Adam authority in the earth, right? He gave him an assignment. Now, this was not a command that he gave him. It was a blessing. He blessed him, and he said over him, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and have dominion. Well, I thank God for the second Adam. The scripture tells us that Jesus, the second Adam, the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not those which were lost, but that which was lost. What was lost? Was a religion lost? No, a kingdom was lost. And the king was coming back to restore his kingdom. Now, I know a lot of people think, yeah, when Jesus returns, when we're all caught up, you know, we're going to see the kingdom of God come. I got good news for you tonight. The kingdom of God is here. In the book of Mark, chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus was telling people around him. He said, some of you here standing with me today will not die until you have seen the kingdom of God come in his power. Isn't that awesome? Some of us, we've run after religion and it's always left empty. We're losing a generation because we have been religious. I know, not in Oklahoma, but somebody's probably watching over the internet tonight. It's going to bless them. But we get real caught up in that sometimes, and in what we, how we look, what we say, what we sing, how are we perceived. How many of you know tonight Jesus really didn't care what folks thought about him? And it wasn't, nobody gave Jesus trouble except the religious folks. Amen. It was the spirit of religion that hated Jesus. But when Jesus came, he came as a king. Glory to God. See, the word kingdom is very important that we understand what the word kingdom means. The word kingdom is made up of two words. It's made up of the word king, and it's made up of the word domain. So the king's domain, when we speak of kingdom, we're talking about the domain of the king. I read in scripture where it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The scripture tells us wherever we go, wherever we put our feet, he's going to give that land to us. We do not negotiate with the devil. Amen. Amen. We go forcefully. The scripture says that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. I want you to know Oklahoma is for your taking. Amen. Your city is for your taking. Your territory is for your taking. And you don't get it by begging God for it. You get it by standing up in the name of the king and taking authority over those things that have set up its thrones in your city. Jesus said in the scripture, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. That word church is the word ecclesia. And ecclesia is a powerful word. It wasn't a Jewish word. It wasn't a Hebrew word. It wasn't a word that was common in the culture there. But Jesus pulled a word out of the Roman culture and he used it to explain to his disciples his intent for being here. Isn't that powerful? I imagine their mouth dropped whenever Jesus said, I'm going to build my ecclesia or my ecclesia. I'm going to build this. And that word to them was not something that was common in their everyday vocabulary. You see, the word ecclesia is a powerful word. It's used in Greek culture. It's also used in Roman culture. To the Greeks, it literally meant the elders that sat at the gate and determine what came in and out of the city. Think about that. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to raise up a people that are going to sit at the gates of the city or sit in seats of authority and determine what comes in and goes out of a city. Amen. But what we've been, we say, I'm going to church. We talk about a building. They have nothing to do with the building, Pastor Steve. Amen. It had to do with the people. And it's time that we stop going to church and we just start being the church. Amen. 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 See, the scripture is real that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And to the Greeks, this was a powerful thing. It was a word of authority. Now, to the Romans, it was a powerful word as well. Now, the Romans used this word ecclesia, it meant senate. Now I know we use the scripture, you know, we use a definition of the called out ones. I need something more simpler than that for me to understand it. It meant senate. Now when Rome would conquer a city, they would send with it into that city, after the army had conquered, they would send into that city an ecclesia, a senate. And their responsibility for going into that newly conquered city was nothing less than changing culture. Not adapting to culture, changing culture. The church in America has been very good at adapting to culture. Come on, somebody. Amen. We've been good at adapting our church to the culture. But Jesus said, no, I'm raising up a group of people that are going into areas that I've already conquered, and they're going to change the culture. Yes. You see, whenever Rome sent an ecclesia in to change a culture, they went in and they changed the names of the streets. They changed the clothes they wore. They changed the food they ate. They changed the architectural structure of a city. That's why you can go to Jerusalem and all the areas surrounding Israel today, and you can see lots of Roman architecture. They even changed the currency. Jesus said, whose face is on the coin? Didn't he not? Where were they standing? In and around Jerusalem. He said, it's Caesar's. Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. The ecclesia was to change the culture. Why? So when a Roman citizen entered into that newly conquered city, or a Caesar may have come to that newly conquered city, he would have felt like he was still in Rome. Brings me to another verse in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done on where? As it is in heaven. Amen. Now, religious folks pray, Lord, let your will be done in heaven. Get me out of here. Lord, come get me quick. I want to get out of this old wretched earth. But see, the scripture shows us that our assignment's right here. Amen. Your gift's not going to be needed in heaven. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. No need prophesying up there. If you've got a healing ministry, you're done. Amen. Throw away your mailing list, get another job in heaven. You know, maybe shine that cherub's harps or something. But none of that's going to be needed in heaven. Why? Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be perfect then. But it's not perfect right now. You see, God gave Adam an assignment to go and to do. When Jesus came back as the second Adam, he came in Matthew chapter 28. He told his disciples, he said, I want you to go into all the earth and I want you to teach them to observe everything that I've taught you. Can I bring a challenge to you tonight that we have been living less than what God intended for us to be? Amen. My question to you tonight is, what does God want his church to look like? And if Jesus were to drop a piece of blueprints off at your front door tomorrow morning, would the church that you are leading look like those blueprints? Man, I love Oklahoma. Praise God. You know why I'm talking this way is because God's got something for you that's powerful, that he wants to use you. You're going to be the heartbeat of what he's doing. And the thing that we've got to be willing to do is say, what I've been doing thus far hadn't been working. God, what do you want to do? Amen. Now, some of y'all got it right. Some of you may not, but we've got to be willing to shift and to change, because the ultimate thing is when we stand before him, he's either going to say, well done, or depart from me. Amen. See, Jesus wants to build his church. He's looking for a people who are willing to lay down their lives, who are willing to die, who are willing to give up their dreams, their vision, their goals and their purposes to fulfill his purpose. Amen. See, there are times in our life that things that we want to do that Jesus don't want us to do, but we could go do them and still be very successful and give God a little bit of what we've done. Yeah. Am I right? Good. But Jesus came as a king, and Jesus came with a takeover mentality. Yes, now, I'm not going to get political on you, but I am going to talk a minute about government, all right? God's not a politician, but he is very interested in government because he's a king. Yes, amen. Amen. America, where we're living right now, this land of the free and this home of the brave, this beautiful nation, this God-birthed nation that we live in, is in trouble. I don't believe that Donald Trump is the answer for America. But I do believe that God placed him where he is to give us a window of mercy so that the church could come back into alignment with heaven, so that we could get our stuff straight, so that we could shake off religion and we could get out of all of our stuff and get back to the place in this window of mercy. Father, what do you want your church to look like? Father, forgive us for what we've done. Forgive us for the ways that we've done things. Forgive us, Lord. We want to shake it all off. Now again, I know Coleman, y'all got it right. I know, praise God. So this is for those watching. If we don't get this right in this window that God's given us of mercy, we won't get another one for a very long time. I'm hearing prophetic voices all over America. I'm hearing men that keep their face to the carpet many hours a day saying the very same thing, that God is giving the church a window of mercy to bring America back into alignment with her destiny, that we can begin to accomplish what God intended us to accomplish in the earth. You got to remember, Jesus is not interested in our buildings. He doesn't give a rip about your new parking lot or your new gym. He is interested in you changing culture. Amen. What are we doing can I use the word, infect our cities and our towns? You should be the culture changer. Amen. Whenever the mayor or the rep or the senator from your district wants to do something in the state house or the state senate, they need to come get your counsel. Why? Because they know you are the influencer in the community. Do you realize that years ago, the most influential voice in any community in America was the voice of the pastor? If we go all over, I know we got patriots in this room tonight. I know we got people here that have served our military, that have served our country. You've got people in your family that have given their life for this country. And if you follow it all the way back to the revolution, the Revolutionary War, it was pastors that led and started that revolution to bring America into independence. I've read stories about them walking in the pulpit. Man, I like these kind of guys. And they lay their pistols on the pulpit. Then they preach and they put them back in their coat and go out and fight. That's my kind of preacher. Amen. These little weak, high-pitched guys that, you know, in their pony. No, I ain't even going to go there. You have in your grasp a God-given grace to influence your community, to influence those that have the finances in your community, those that influence others in your community. God has given you the voice and the grace to do that. Father, I pray over everyone in this place tonight. Lord, awaken the grace in us. Awaken boldness in us. Awaken what we need to stand up and to see America come into alignment. Our ideas have been, well, let's just let the earth go to hell in a handbasket. That's very bad stewardship. The scripture shows us that when he comes, he needs to find us working. Not huddling together, praying in tongues, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I don't want Jesus to come back today. I know that shocks folks. But I got family that ain't saved yet. Amen. I got enemies that ain't saved yet. I know some of y'all don't want your enemies saved. I don't either really, but I'm praying for them. Amen. Jesus wants earth to look like heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's called us to be people who colonize the earth. that when the Lord comes, does the scripture not say that when he comes, he's coming back after church that's without spot or without wrinkle? Does it not say that? Amen. Let's not separate that and throw it some way out in the future to where we hope the next generation could grab it and we're off the hook with it. No, let's get the spots and the wrinkles out and let's start being who God created us to be. The church, the ecclesia, the ones that determine what comes in our city or in our state, and we determine what leaves our state. I was sitting in the hotel room this afternoon, and I was just praying, and I was thinking, Lord, Oklahoma is prime. I felt it. Oklahoma is prime for a great shift. It's prime for revival. It's prime for an awakening. It's prime for a reformation, if we can use those words tonight. It's prime for when you're walking down the street and your shadow falls on somebody, they get healed. Amen. Well, that was back in the today. He's the same. He's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I don't want to compartmentalize Jesus to the point that I make excuses for not having signs, wonders, and miracles flowing in our life. Amen. How do you get in those places? You be bold. You risk it all. You risk it all. I said you risk it all. Amen. You don't care if you make your largest giver in the church mad. If you make him mad enough, he might get saved. Amen. You don't care if you're voted out. God will open a greater place for you. He's not looking for conformers. He's looking for reformers. He took 12 men and he turned the world upside down. I'm issuing a challenge to the Heartland Conference tonight. Let God move you into a place of turning Oklahoma upside down. Risking it all, putting it all on the line, losing your dreams and your visions and saying, God, I'll take up yours for my life. In Matthew chapter 6, if you go to verse 33, we quote it all the time. Jesus said here, but seek first his kingdom. Seek first the king's domain. And his righteousness. And then he said, all these things are going to be added unto you. See, he was explaining, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but he was explaining to them that the Gentiles, we're Gentiles, unless you're Jewish, you're Gentile. They eagerly sought what they were going to eat, what they were going to wear, and the roof over their head. Now, I know not in Oklahoma, but in Hawaii, preachers are worried about their house, their car, their clothes, and their food. What if the king just supplied that stuff for us? What if the king said, don't worry about what man pulls out of your hand. I'm going to put something in your hand. What if we didn't worry about the persecution that's coming down the road? See, I'd rather be ready for the persecution than get to the persecution and not be ready and have to get ready in the midst of it. Amen. 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 Because I promise you, unless we take advantage of this window of mercy that God has brought over our nation, then you and I are going to find ourselves in very deep, deep persecution. But if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, I love the word righteousness. Man, it's a powerful word. It simply means right relationship. Right relationship. I want you to turn over real quick. Go to Romans. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole. I got a bunch of favorite verses. Go to Romans chapter 5. I want to show you this. Righteousness is very powerful. Verse 17, it says, for by the transgression of one, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will what? That's not R-A-I-N, is it? That's R-E-I-G-N. Will reign where? In heaven? No, in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Whoa. Paul is telling the Romans here, if you would receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, which is right relationship, then you would have the power to reign in this life. This word reign here, it means to become king. Oh, y'all are really quiet tonight. It means to become king. Look, you are a sinner. You were a sinner. You are saved by grace. Galatians 4 tells us that we have been adopted by the Father. We can now cry, Abba, Father, right? He's more than just a Savior to me. He's Daddy. Amen. Amen. He's more than just a Redeemer to me. He's my Father. And because of that, He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. It means that if I receive this abundance of grace and the right standing in relationship with Him, then I can begin to reign in life. That means I can begin to act out of the mandate that God has given me in my sphere of influence. I can have authority to change culture. The scripture says He's the King of Kings. Am I right? He's not talking about the king of Brunei or the king of this place or that place. He's talking about King of Kings. He's talking about He's the Lord of Lords. Now, don't get all nervous when I say that you're a Lord. The word Lord, it just simply means, I give you a lot of redneck definitions tonight. That's all I got. The one who controls the land and the finances of the king. That's a Lord. Landlord. He has put you and I in authority in the earth to bring about His kingdom. You are the most powerful people in your community. Why? You are ambassadors of Christ where you live. You carry with you that beautiful name that we sang about tonight. That name, the scripture says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that name is Lord. Amen? We need to understand tonight that we are a people of power, but religion will keep you into a place that you live under condemnation, you live beneath what He created you to be, and you live in a place that you're servitude to your situations instead of ruling and reigning over them. In Romans chapter 8 in verse 1, it says, now there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Yeah. Amen. There's the battle. Yeah. There's the fight. My identity. See, the church ain't got any other problem but an identity problem. We really don't understand who we are. And if the church would wake up, if we could shake off these heavy bands that we've been tied to called religion, and we could step into that identity that God called us to, we could see our communities change. Amen. Hallelujah. We see government change. See, God wants government to change. I know sometimes our religious traditions and our doctrines tell us, no, God's not interested in that. But He said that the government will be upon His shoulders. He's a king. He's a conquering king. He's a life-giving king. He's a king that makes ways for people who are lost and have no way. He's a redemptive king. Everything God does, He does with the intention of redemption. He says here, you will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. He's everything. He's not part of it. He's all of it. Amen. He's everything. Our entire mission should be to fulfill the purpose of the king. I've had many times to stop and say, Father, I don't know if I'm on your mission anymore. What is your mission? He'll redirect us. He'll rebuke me and forgive me. See, what we're afraid of is the rebuke and no forgiveness. We're afraid of open shame. God, you're going to openly shame me. No. He's not going to do that. If we repent, he is just and faithful to forgive us, right? If we come to him and say, Father, I think I'm off course now. Help me get back on course. You will see a resurgence of power in your ministry, in your life, in your family like never before. As long as we stay on mission with the king. This can revolutionize Oklahoma. Amen. This can change everything. We're so easy to adapt to things, Steve. We're easy to say, let me try that. But God's looking for some folks that'll say, I think we need to do something different. I think we need to come into a place to where we find out what the king wants and let's take some risk. God's calling his people to risk. God's calling us into a place to where we're not afraid to move in what he says. We love not our life even unto death. He said here in verse 18, Peter, I'm going to build on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. That's comforting to me. It didn't say hell wouldn't kick up. The scripture actually says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You know what that means? There's going to be a few times you're going to be looking down the barrel of the gun. It's going to dry fire. Amen. You don't have to worry about the weapons that the enemy forms against you. Yes, they will come. They will form. They even throw the weapon of death at Jesus, but the king overcame death. See, this should be very comforting for us because we get to run out into a game that's already been won. We get to get into a ring that the fight has already been fought and it's already over. Amen. Guys, you're more than conquerors, the scripture says. Do you understand that? I got a revelation. Being married to a Filipina gives great revelation in your life. I had revelation you could actually walk a dog. Not W-A-L-K either, praise God. Some of you in the mission field understand that. But there's this icon in Filipino culture. His name is Manny Pacquiao. How many of you ever heard of Manny Pacquiao? Yeah, my wife's a friend of his, and she knows the family. But I got a revelation. See, Manny's a powerful fighter. And I've watched some of the HBO things where he's trained, and he's running. Y'all can tell my exercise program's not working well for me. But Manny's works good for him. He runs, he boxes, he brings in people that are going to fight like his opponent, and he spars with those guys to learn how to fight the one he's going to get paid to fight. And then the night the fight comes, Manny gets in the ring, and most of the time he wins. And when he wins, something miraculous happens. He gets a really big check. All right? Millions of dollars. We were in Las Vegas one time. Yes, I did go to Las Vegas. And we were watching the fight. Manny had given us tickets to the fight. And I thought, man, this is going to be awesome. It lasted all of one round. He knocked Ricky Hatton out. It was over. Eyes rolled back in the head. He went to the locker room with a huge check. Millions of dollars. Manny conquered. But there's somebody in Manny's life that's a little bit more powerful than Manny. Her name is Jinky. That's his wife. Jinky is more than a conqueror. Why? Because she got the check that Manny won and she never had to fight. Do you see that? She's more than a conqueror. She got to go shop and to do all the things that she likes to do. She never sweated. She never bled. She was never bruised. She just wore her shoes that were fancy and her nice outfit there and watched Manny fight, and she got the check. She's more than a conqueror. Guys, that's what Jesus did for us. He fought, he bled, he sweat, he died, he rose again, he got the check. His check was you. You are more than conquerors. Why? Because you don't have to go do something that hasn't already been done. You don't have to go and try to fight a devil that's never been fought. The devil's already under your feet tonight. He has been defeated by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's trying to tell us that we don't have to strive for this thing. We don't have to work for this thing. We just come into alignment. Yes. And we walk out what he's already paid for. I love that scripture in Romans. We will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. That's why when God puts a pretty bold vision in your heart for where you're serving, you don't have to tweak it to fit the community. The community will be tweaked to fit the vision. Yes, amen. Those that are going to raise their hands up against you when you're planting new churches and new territories and you're going out and you're preaching in places you've never preached before, or you stand in the same place you've been preaching for 25 years and you begin to declare things that make religion uncomfortable, do not be afraid, because the King has already walked that way. He's already defeated that. And what happens is he's bringing things, he's popping things back into alignment. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the fivefold ministry and what it's called to do. And then it talks about what the church starts doing whenever it matures. It talks about how every joint begins to supply. Yes. See, when Manny goes into the ring, if his shoulder's out of joint, he has no strength. But when every joint is in place and everything is working right, all of the arm, all of the body is used, the entire body is used to deliver that punch. When we're out of alignment with God, when we're out of joint with God, there's a weakness in the body. And we've been making excuses for our weaknesses for a long time. We've been making excuses for what we can't do for a long time. We read the Bible and we say that was them, but God just don't know where I'm at right now. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he knows exactly who he created you to be. And he wants you to allow him to pop you back into alignment to where the power of the body of Christ could begin to flow together and we could begin to take home what he intended for us to take home out of the ring. Amen. Thank you. The gates of hell will not overpower it. I remember my very first trip to Israel. We were standing in this place where this scripture was being talked about. And what was happening was they were worshiping up on this hill where these two caves were. Many of you have been there. And Jesus was just simply telling them, what they're doing up there is not going to overpower what I'm doing in you. They were worshiping the god of Pan up there, this half goat. Who wants to worship a goat? Goats are better on the barbecue. Amen. Don't need to worship them. Just thank God for them and go for it. But he was telling them, what they're doing up there is not going to overpower what I'm doing in you. Church, here's where we're at. You are full of the power of the kingdom of heaven. He has given you the power to lock and to unlock. And he said, whatever you lock and whatever you're going to unlock, he's going to agree with you on that. So let's go unlock some things that need to be unlocked, and let's lock up some stuff that's been running around too long in our cities. I believe that if we could come together as this Senate or these elders at the gate, this body of believers that understand that what we are walking in belongs to us. The earth doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to Jesus, the King. And we could begin to send some things out of this state that have been camped out here a long time. We begin to see abortion totally gone. We could see abuse gone. We could see sin gone. We could see the church rise up. We could see folks giving their lives and their hearts to Jesus. Not a religion, but to Jesus. God is looking for some risk takers in Oklahoma. I believe I'm looking at some tonight. I can see it in your eyes that you're ready. That you want to give it all. That you want to pour it all out. There ain't nothing left in a cup. Not even a drop left in the cup. And God begin to use you in the miraculous. Julie, would you come up and help me out? I want you just to bow your head for a minute. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to begin to challenge you in some things. I even believe, and I've had several prophetic words concerning this. Some of you have heard prophetic words from others talking about the IPHC. And how in these last days, God is going to use the IPHC in a miraculous way. There have been words that have been prophesied that the IPHC is God's secret weapon in these last days. You can't be a very effective weapon if the firing pin has been removed. God is wanting us to come into a place to where we're not afraid for the unveiling of who we are. We're people of the Spirit. We're sons and daughters of the King. We believe in signs and wonders and miracles. We believe in giving all we got. Because we know when we pour out of what we have in our hand, God pours back into our life. We need to understand today that God has brought us into the season of the fulfillment of the prophetic words. That we're standing in a place that God wants to use our family, the IPHC, in a way that we've never been used before. But in order to do that, we're going to have to be willing to do things in ways we've never done them before. We're going to have to be willing to take risks. We're going to have to be willing to not worry about the world, what they're saying, what they do, how they come against us, because we know that the King has His army behind us. We know that as long as we're marching to the mandate of what the King has told us to do, He's got our back. When the devil wants to do something in the world, he uses a man or a woman to do it. Likewise, same thing is true with God. When God wants to do something in the world, He uses a man or a woman to do it. I have felt in coming here tonight to challenge the Heartland Conference to be pioneers, front runners, those that say, if anybody's got to be on the front line, let me be on the front line. There is a pioneer spirit that dwells among you. There is a bravery and an adventurous heart that lives in the people of Oklahoma. And God wants to use that to His advantage to expand His kingdom in ways that has never been expanded here. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe tonight that God wants Oklahoma saved? Do you believe tonight that God is still a God of miracles and signs and wonders? Do you believe tonight that the ministry vision that He gave you when you felt that leading and that calling is still as sure today as it ever was? Even though there's been hard times, there have been times you felt off track, there have been times you felt nobody believed in you, there have been times that you felt like giving up and falling out or pulling back, you still know that those things are real and those things are true. They're just as real today as they was when God put them in your heart. I speak life over you tonight. I speak the resurrection and the life over you tonight concerning the visions that God has given you, the dreams that He's given you, the ministry that He called you to, the things that He's told you to do that in your mind and in your heart were radical. I speak resurrection life over that tonight in Jesus' name. And I speak a return of the boldness of God in your life. I speak over your life tonight. The risk taker that you were then is coming back alive again. And the pioneer that you were then is beginning to wake up again. And you're going to move like you've never moved. You're going to run like you've never run. And you're not going to grow weary. You're not going to faint. It's going to be like wings on your feet. You're going to move under the breath of God. Father, I pray over Heartland Conference tonight. Let them see, Father. Let them see, Father, what you have for them individually and as a body. That, Father, you're wanting to pour from this place, from this state, Lord, an oil into the nation, Lord, a healing balm into the nation, Lord, that brings healing from all of the religious wounds that have taken place in your body. You're wanting to bring a healing, Lord, so that those that it touches, that Oklahoma touches, will begin to rise up. Father, I know you love America. And Father, I know you're not done with this great nation. And Father, I know in my heart, if I've known anything, you've spoken to me, that you want to use Oklahoma. You want to use the IPAC churches here in Oklahoma, Lord God, to begin to awaken this nation. Would you just stand with me for a moment and let's just seek Him for a moment. Let's just cry out to Him for a moment. There, you may feel like tonight you just need to say, God, I'm giving it again. I'm giving it all again. I know I'm saved. I know I'm filled with your Spirit. But Lord, there's been some things on me. I got to shake it off. Just begin to cry out to Him tonight. There's going to be a refreshing come in your life. There's going to be a fresh wind begin to blow over you tonight. Come on, just begin to cry out. Pray in the Spirit. Cry out in the Spirit tonight. Lord, we give you praise tonight for who you are. A loving God, a caring God, a Father to us. Father, we come to you tonight and we repent of our sins. Father, we repent tonight, God, if we've allowed ourselves to be caught in the religious traditions of men that have caused your word not to work in our lives. Forgive us for that, Father. Father, we desire tonight to be used of you to bring healing to the nation. We desire tonight, Father, that what you've called us to do, to be a living reality among us instead of a dream for the future. Father, forgive us tonight where we have compromised in preaching your word. Forgive us where we have come in and tried to conform, dear God, and make ourselves relevant to society instead of coming in and changing culture. Father, forgive us tonight to where we have laid ourselves, dear God, at the feet of provision and say, provide for us, instead of relying on you, oh God, to be our provider. Forgive us, Lord. Father, I thank you tonight that your grace is pouring over us, that your empowerment is filling us, that, Lord, we're just receiving tonight a fresh infilling of Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you tonight, dear God, that visions are coming alive and dreams are coming alive and purpose is coming back to surface where it's been covered up by hurts and pains and the dust of the past. It's resurrecting again in our lives. And Lord, from this place, Lord, you're giving birth to a brand new movement of your Spirit. That, Father, Lord, from those that are old and think they're washed up. No, God, you're rearmoring them. You're resuiting them. And Lord, from those that we would say would even be the Abraham generation, Lord, you're using them in a great and a mighty way in this season. You're not done. You're not done. Father, I thank you tonight that Heartland Conference will be known as a conference of signs and wonders and miracles. That every church, every gathering of the saints, Lord, it will be, if there is any among you sick, it'll be a rarity. It'll be a rarity, Lord. I thank you for that tonight. Father, I just give you praise tonight in this house, Lord, that Father, tonight, God, you're shifting some people around. And Lord, there's some that are pastoring that don't need to be pastoring. You need them in the mission field. There's some on the mission field that you need in a local congregation. Lord, there's some that are traveling and evangelizing because it's easier. You need them in a local congregation. Lord, you're shifting people around. I pray tonight, God, that you would hear, that they would hear your voice. They would hear your voice, Father. They would see. You would minister to them, Father God, and they would see exactly where they're fit in your body. Shake it up, Lord. Shake it up, Lord. And Father, we know that the shaking is not a bad thing when it brings things into alignment. That same finger that I saw earlier tonight that would begin to drag itself through the ground to make a plant, a place to plant seeds. I saw the harvest even beginning to come up. This is not something that's going to take weeks or months or years to do. I hear the Lord saying, as you commit your heart to it tonight, it's going to begin to happen immediately in your life.